The story you're about to hear is a true story. How a man became an alcoholic, his life as an alcoholic, and how he was liberated from the dark and dreaded world of alcoholism. This is how Fred Hyde was raised from the ruins.
Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be.
My name is Fred Hyde, and for 10 years in my life, I was an alcoholic. I came from a real large family back in the state of Oklahoma. There were 11 children in the Hyde family, a beautiful family. And because many of us played musical instruments and sang in the churches and the schools, we called ourselves the Happy Hyde family. I was 15 years old when I began to play for the country dances back in Oklahoma. I did not realize that when I took my first drink at that early age, that someday I was going to end up in the city of New Orleans as a hopeless alcoholic. But this was my life. Laying in the floor of the honky-tonks was my life. I joined the Army when I was 19, drank real heavy while I was in the armed forces. After I was discharged, I went back to Oklahoma. And my younger brother and I formed a singing team. We called ourselves the K Brothers. We traveled in many parts of America singing in nightclubs. This was the time in my life that I reached the very depths of alcoholism. We went to New Orleans. We sang on Bourbon Street. There was big plans for the K Brothers, the Grand Ole Opry, Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts. But there was a beast raising its ugly head in my life, the beast of alcoholism. My brother went back to Oklahoma, and we never sang professionally as a team after that. In those days, I sobered up enough to get a job with a trailer sales company. I learned something, that success is just as fatal as failure to the alcoholic. He will drink with exhilaration to success, but he'll also drink to sadness and misfortune. I had a real good job with this company. I worked myself up as manager. I was guaranteed a good salary plus my commissions. I had just about anything I wanted, a new automobile, new clothes. As a matter of fact, I was putting a little money in the bank at this time. And I felt that for one time in my life, I was really getting ahead. But the beast was still there in my life. There were plans to send me to Canada to open up a string of trailer sales companies across Canada. There was a profit-sharing plan worked with the company. I would have probably been a millionaire. I didn't get fired. I just drank myself out of the job. I just didn't go back to work. My wife worked for the telephone company. She had been with them for 14 years. We had no children. The Lord gave me a fine little boy 2 years after he came into my life. I began to depend heavily upon my wife at this time, like most people on alcohol and drugs do when they reach the bottom. A very beautiful person. I knew that at the end of the week that she'd have enough money to get the groceries and pay the rent on the little apartment we had. I'll just tell you one day in the life of an alcoholic. I would get up in the morning, it seemed like my blood would be on fire, trembling and shaking. I had to have that drink. And as soon as I got my first drink, it seemed like life would smooth out for me. Then I would say to myself, well, everything's going to be all right. I'd take my wife to work. She'd give me a couple of dollars to get something to eat, but I'd go to my favorite place, and there I'd start my drinking for the day. I would sit there on that bar stool, and I'd just talk to myself, and I'd say, I'm going to get myself together, and everything's going to be okay. I'm going to go get my job back. I'm going to get this monkey off my back. You know, an alcoholic's wife once asked him, honey, I wish you'd stop drinking and pull yourself together. His reply was, I would if I knew where to start pulling. This is what I would say. I'm going to get things together. I'm going to go back and get my job. I'm going to get rid of this thing. I'm going to get my job back. I'm going to do it. Work myself up as manager. But the longer I sat there, the drunker I became. I learned something in my life in those days, that when the bottle is empty, the problem is still there. Alcohol or drugs has never, ever solved a problem. I didn't believe in prayer, and I thought churches was for old ladies and kids. and I didn't much believe in preachers, I didn't realize that all this time back in the hills of Oklahoma, there was an old praying Christian mother down on her knees at all hours of the day and night crying out for God to save her alcoholic son. I think I had gone about 3 years without drawing a sober breath. One day I was drinking in a bar in the suburbs of New Orleans, and there was a friend of mine sitting next to me. I was so paranoid in my life by this time after drinking so long, I felt that even he was trying to destroy me and was planning to kill me. Suddenly, while I was sitting there, there was a fear that came over me that I could not explain. I tried to reach for the beer bottle to take a swallow, but I couldn't swallow it. My whole body was paralyzed with fear. I screamed. I ran back away from the bar. The friend of mine that was with me came over and took me by the hand. The bartender said, "Get him out of here now." He took me and led me outside, trembling and shaking. He drove me down the road, the street there, to the little restaurant, a little apartment where we had right up over a little Chinese restaurant. He took me upstairs into the bedroom, left me standing there. He kept saying, "Man, you better get a hold of yourself. You've had it." My wife was in the kitchen ironing, getting ready to go to work the next morning. He told my wife, said, "You had better get a doctor because he's a sick man." And while I was standing there in that room that day, I did not realize it. But for the first time in my life, I was about to come in contact with Almighty God. My life ravaged with alcoholism, fear, I had reached the end of my life. You know, give God something, he can't do anything with it. Give him nothing, he'll make a miracle out of it. All of a sudden, outside that window there shined from heaven one of the most glorious lights that I'd ever seen in all my life. It shined down. It was so beautiful. When I saw that light, I fell right to my knees. I did not realize then, but this experience was similar to the one that the Apostle Paul had on the Damascus Road. And I will always believe that it came through my mother's prayers. My wife put me in the hospital. It was an alcoholic psychiatric ward. She thought that I'd had a nervous breakdown. I stayed there for 6 weeks. I learned something in those 6 weeks that I was in the hospital. Doctors do all they can, but alcoholism and drugs can never, ever be cured institutionally, never. If a man or a woman is ever going to be set free from the dark and dreaded world of alcoholism and drugs, he or she must have a new identity. He must have a new motive for living, a new direction in life. And this comes only through the power and love and glory of Jesus Christ. I stayed in the hospital 6 weeks after my release from the hospital. I had a great desire to go to church. My mother had come down to visit me from Oklahoma, and I had taken her downtown that night to a little church. I didn't even know the name of it. But that Sunday morning when I woke up, I got up, I went down and found this little church. When I walked in, I sat down, and for the first time in my life, I realized I was among God's people. It suddenly dawned on me that these people had something in their lives that I did not have. And whatever it was the most beautiful thing that I'd ever seen. They seemed so happy. Their songs were so beautiful. They lifted their hands. They clapped their hands. And I sat there, and something spoke to me. I thought, "Oh, Lord, if there was ever some way that I could ever receive what these people have, I know that this would be all that I would ever need." I went back to church again that night, and again the next night, the pastor made the appeal for everyone to come and pray. And I went back into the little prayer room and knelt down by a chair. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to talk to God. The only thing I knew that I had a problem in my life that was too big for me. I did something that night I'd always wanted to do. I'd always wanted to go off and break down and just cry and tell somebody all about my problem. But I never found anyone that I really believed would really understand how I felt. But that night down on my knees in that little church, I will never forget that experience as long as I live, not for the rest of my life. It was beautiful. As I knelt, tears began to stream down my face. I stood to my feet, and when I lifted my hands, toward heaven. The most glorious experience that could ever happen to a human being came into my life that night as I stood there in that little church. It was the power and love of Jesus Christ. It was a baptism, a dynamic love of God. At that moment, I was instantly set free from alcohol and everything else in my life. I didn't know what had happened, but I later learned I had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the love of Jesus Christ. It was real, tangible. It was a beautiful experience that still lives in my life as I sit here and talk today. It was so beautiful. You can't explain it, but it was real. I will never forget it. It changed me in a moment, and I realized then that I was a new creature. I was a new creature in Christ. Old things had instantly passed away, and all things had become new in my life. This has been over 30 years ago since I received this beautiful experience. I have never had the slightest desire for a drink since that night. I smoked cigarettes for 26 years. Could never quit smoking like millions want to quit today but can't. Since that night, I've never taken another cigarette. Never taken another drink. The Bible says, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." I've received power, beautiful power, peace, and joy in my life that night. I walked out of that little church and drove down that same street that I had been drunk on for years. But there was something different in my life that night. Something different. You know, somebody said once to an alcoholic, "Why do you drink?" Well, there was a fear in my life that I couldn't pin down or even put into words. And when I would drink, the fear would always go away, but it would always come back when I became sober. And whenever I sobered up, I'd always call home. My wife was always there. And out of all the days and nights that I left her alone by herself, not one time was she ever unfaithful to me in her life. She was always there. Her voice would sound so beautiful over the phone. She would say, "Where are you, honey?" And I would tell her, and she would ask me if I thought I could make it home. And I would say, "Well, I'll try." And she'd say, "Well, come on home, honey, and let's try again. There's still good women in the world today." But that night when I walked in that little apartment after God had filled me with His Spirit and His power, the minute she saw me, she knew that something real had happened in my life, that I was a different person. I told her what happened, how this dynamic experience with the Lord Jesus had come into my life, and that He had instantly given me a new life. I knew that I would never take another drink. I lay there that night on that bed. My heart was full of joy and peace and everything that I'd ever wanted. The next morning, when I put my feet on the floor, for the first time in my life, there was no fear in my heart. All fear was gone. You see, when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came into my life, He wiped all fear from my heart. This solved my problem. An alcoholic's problem is not alcohol or person on drugs. His problem's not drugs. That is the fruits of his real problem. And that real problem can only be solved through the power and love of Jesus Christ when he comes into a man's heart and life. 5 months after I received this glorious experience, the same thing happened to my wife. God gave me a new home, a new family. 13 months after God saved me, he called me into the ministry. I studied under my pastor for some time. Went to a little place called Slidell, Louisiana, and built a church. I pastored there for 10 years. Then we were appointed as missionaries to Asia. I traveled in Asia just under 8 years. And I've been in this ministry now over 11 years, telling millions on alcohol and drugs that there is a way out. Alcohol and drugs is destroying our world. But you or anyone else on alcohol or drugs can find their personal experience of deliverance with Jesus Christ, and I hope this testimony helps. I hope this testimony has touched your heart as much as it has mine while I've given it. I would like to help you. No one understands how it is to be an alcoholic unless he or she has been there and traveled that road or walked that valley. Alcohol and drugs are the same. The only differences, they affect the body in different ways. I would like to become acquainted with you and help you. I would like to become your friend. There's never a charge for our counseling, and we never accept money for those we're working with. My toll-free number is 1-800-535-6011. It's good anywhere in North America, anywhere, including Canada, Puerto Rico, and Hawaii. I would like for you to call me. And I would like to help you. I know there were times in my life when I wanted to call someone but didn't know which way to turn. And I hope I can help you. There is one scripture in the Bible that explains what happened to me, and it's no great mystery. And this beautiful experience can be yours if you really want it with all your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to play one of my favorite songs for you right now. I recorded some songs in Manila, Philippines as a missionary. Some of them are going to be on the other side of this tape, but this one especially I want you to hear. I trust it blesses your heart, and I'll be waiting to hear from you.
Like a blind man who had walked in the darkness, I had longed, I had searched for the light. Then I met the Master. Now I walk no more in the night. Dear Lord, I want to thank you as I stand here today for all that you've done for me. I remember when I was that hopeless drunk in the streets of New Orleans, when I was laying with my face in the floor in the honky-tonks. I'd lost everything I had, and I'd given my life to the life as an alcoholic. Then somehow, Lord, by your grace and your mercy, I walked into a little Pentecostal church right off Canal Street one night. And there, for the first time in my life, I found myself in an altar. And with tears streaming down my face, I remember how you gloriously filled me with your wonderful spirit. And at that moment, I found what I was looking for. When I got up out of that altar, I walked out of that church, walked down that same street, by those same honky-tonks. But there was something different in my life that night. Oh, hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord. That's been 15 years ago, and I've never taken another drink. I've never wanted one. Oh, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for letting me know what it feels like to be a Christian. And too, Lord, for calling me to be a preacher. But most of all, I want to thank you for Calvary. Lord, you took fear and pain and sorrow out of my life. And you gave me peace and joy and happiness. Truly, I can say I met the Master. For all things will change when he found me. A new world came through all around me.
invisible hands are waiting to guide you. Invisible hands will show you the way. So trust in shall pass, and some great morning we'll look back and smile at heartaches we've known. So don't forget when shadows gather. It's just asleep, still it's strong because it knew the hammer and why he need these things. Jump and life be sweeter when love and faith are strong, they cannot long. Shall pass, so don't you worry.
darkest time is just 1 hour before dawn. So hold up high and face your troubles, and don't despair if you must face them alone. The rose looks gray at midnight, oh, but the flame is just asleep. Steel is strong because it knew the hammer and white heat. These things shall pass and life be sweeter when love and faith are strong. They cannot long endure.
Shame. baby with some grief or trouble. You do not have to bear it all alone. You have a friend who knows about your struggle. He'll be standing there when all your other friends are gone. He will calm the troubled waters of your
today for all that you've done for me. I remember when I was that hopeless drunk in the streets of New Orleans, when I was laying with my face in the floor in the honky-tonks. I'd lost everything I had, and I'd given my life to the life as an alcoholic. Then somehow, Lord, by your grace and your mercy, I walked into a little Pentecostal church right off Canal Street one night. And there, for the first time in my life, I found myself in an altar. And with tears streaming down my face, I remember how you gloriously filled me with your wonderful spirit. And at that moment, I found what I was looking for. When I got up out of that altar, I walked out of that church, walked down that same street by those same honky-tonks. But there was something different in my life that night. Oh, hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord, That's been 15 years ago. And I've never taken another drink. I've never wanted one. Oh, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for letting me know what it feels like to be a Christian. And too, Lord, for calling me to be a preacher. But most of all, I want to thank you for Calvary. Lord, you took fear and pain and sorrow out of my life. And you gave me peace and joy and happiness. Truly, I can say I met the Master.
For all things will change when he found me. A new world came through all around me. When I met the Master, now I